Good morning, morning, morning. Everybody doing okay this morning? Hey, we're glad you're here. We want to welcome each and every one of you. We're thankful for those that are here in our multi-purpose center. Also those that are over in our sanctuary that are viewing by simulcast, as well as those who are at home or wherever in the world you may be that are watching on the live stream. We want to say hello to you. And one of the things that I've always done, as I said, we don't want to lose the fellowship aspect of things, although coronaviruses don't do that. So we've got at least a little bit of a different take on that. So if you're here in our multi-purpose building, look around at somebody and give them a wave. Give them a smile. Give them a good one. Let them know the coffee's kicked in. If you're over there in the sanctuary, do the same thing. Look at somebody, give them a wave. If you're outside in the parking lot listening on 105.5 FM, look at the car next to you and wave at them or toot your horn. Do something. Give somebody a smile. Let them know that you're there today. If you are online and you're viewing online, say hello to somebody that you see, that you know, that's in the live feed, or say hello to somebody that you don't know and welcome them aboard. Also, Dr. David Gant will be monitoring our online community. If you have any questions, you can feel free to just chime in there, any questions that you may have or anything that we might be able to do to assist you. Before we start off in prayer, I want to just give you a couple of quick announcements, mainly because I know that what happens is when we get to the invitation, everybody's ready for lunch. So I'm going to go ahead and front load an announcement or two. If you are looking for your contribution statement, we do have contribution statements for the year 2020 in our Lottie Moon post office. It's out there in the hall. You can stop by there and pick that up. Those will actually be mailed. If you get to the 30th, please pick them up if you can. But if we get past the 30th, we will mail those. Also, while you're there, check and see if you have any the Christmas cards that were left that were not picked up. Those have been placed on the bottom of the Lottie Moon post office because we don't have the ability to mail all those. So please pick those up. Stop by. If you have any Christmas cards or anything that anybody put in there, please pick them up because we'll have to discard those if you don't. Statements of giving, if those aren't picked up by the end of the month, we will be sending those out. But just to let you know that they are there. Once again, we're glad that you are here today. We look forward to next week. I'll just kind of let you know in advance. This week, our pastor that we have worked with on mission work for years and years and years, which is Pastor Julio Machado from the church at Ducaro. That's where your support has funded their Awana program over the years. It's the church where we did the revival last year. It is the church where we support their music ministry. Pastor Julio will be our guest speaker here next Sunday. Don't worry if you don't know Spanish. We do have an interpreter that will be here to assist as he brings you the word. And as he's had to do some traveling, he has to go to Kansas City, actually. So he's stopping by to have some time with us prayerfully. It's been a long journey. He left last week making his way here because he had to go all the way up to Havana. Then he had to quarantine in Havana before he can leave to come to Tampa. From Tampa, he'll come up to us, and when we send him out, we'll be sending him to Kansas City. So keep Pastor Julio in your prayers. He'll be with us next week, and we look forward to having that time just to be able to share with him. Let me begin in a word of prayer today, and then Lynn's going to take us before our Father in worship. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for this opportunity to come together in your house. Lord, you have blessed us and blessed us indeed. Lord Father, we pray that as we continue to go forward in this new year of 2021, that we will continue to keep our focus upon you, that Lord, you will shake loose any preconceived ideas of what we might have had planned to simply make sure that we're on your plans for what you would have for us. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity that we have to be with God's people, to fellowship in a safe way, but yet to gather around your word. Lord, we're thankful for technology that gives us an opportunity for those who can't be here, those who don't feel comfortable yet with the circumstances and the situations of the world, but Lord, they're still a part of our family, and we thank you for allowing technology to be able to bring us to their living room or their car or wherever they may be. So, Father, help us not to use that as an excuse, not to be able to fellowship with fellow believers as we get to that point where we feel comfortable getting out in public. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless our heart today, move us, draw us close to you in song, help us to prepare our hearts to meet you in this place today. For we know that you want to meet us in your word. We know that you want to meet us, Lord, through the message, and we know that you want to meet us through song. Help us to be tuned into you. And as we read in the book of Revelation, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your church is beautiful. Your church is broken. But you are holding us together in your arms. At times we are shaken, but never forsaken. Jesus, you're making us more like who you are. Purify our hearts, teach us how to walk in your way, Yahweh. More of who you are, tear down every wall in your way, Yahweh. Bind us together, we're stronger together, and we will see greater things when your King who you are.
Thank you, Lynn. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. As we think about this, I want you to think for just a moment times in your life where you have been or had to negotiate. And think about what that means. You know, whether it's been that you've gone to purchase an automobile, you go in, you look at the sticker price, and you're like, I don't know about that. I'm not willing to go that much. And we have these times and these moments to negotiate. Some people love it, and some people despise it. How many of you all like to negotiate with somebody? You're just negotiators. You love it. How many of y'all would say I detest doing that? Yeah, and you know one segment of that that demographic really does not like to shop with the other section. Yeah, because if you're that person that doesn't like to haggle, you'll go, well, that's a little higher than I wanted to pay, but I'm just going to go ahead and get it anyway. And then somebody, your negotiator buddy goes, no, I wouldn't get that for less than that. Let me help you out here. And they just, some people love to do that. Now, as you keep that thought in mind, you know, we're going to look at some passages today, but I think that it's good to know the ways of one's enemy, one's adversary. Now, I think we also have to be careful when it comes down to that, because when we're spiritually speaking, you know, I don't think that you need to go out and study Satan and how he works and what he does so that we can be better versed against him. I don't believe that's what God wants us to do. You've heard me use this expression that is not original to my own by any stretch of the imagination, but however it is true. Secret Service agents aren't trained to find out what flaws are in U.S. currency simply by studying counterfeit currency. They are trained in knowing the real thing so well that anything outside of the real thing sticks out to them. So I believe that that concept applies to us spiritually as well. I believe that God wants us to know him and know his word so well that anything outside of that immediately sends up a red flag. The leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life as a believer will pinpoint those things. You've been there before. You've been in circumstances and situations where you knew immediately. It was like hearing the Morse code, SOS. Yeah, this is not right. This is outside of you know what God's will is and what God's word is, and you knew it immediately. There's been other times in your life where there's been circumstances and situations that you just had a discomfort with. You're like, just something's not right, but I can't put my finger on it. I've always used this term. I've always said, be careful to pay attention to the tension. If there's tension, there is a reason. Now, I want us to think today about how Satan does function in our lives, and one of the biggest tools that he uses against Christians today. And notice what I said. I'm talking about even against believers today. Here is a tremendous tool that he uses. When we start talking about it, you're going to know it. You have seen it in the past. You may be seeing it currently, and you will definitely see it in the future if not. Now, to give you a little bit of background, because we're going to be covering quite a few passages or essentially what was taking place in regard to Israel with Egypt during that time of Exodus. And we know that God had called Moses. Moses was that interesting character. He's one of those that in the Bible, we actually had a chance to follow his life from the time he was born until the time he left this earth. If you remember back in the beginning when he was born, you know, that was when Pharaoh was having all the children killed. So his mama took him down, put him in the little Moses basket and floated him down the river to Pharaoh's daughter who picked him up and took him. He was raised in Pharaoh's household. He had all the good education, although he was a Hebrew. We know that he wound up killing an Egyptian. He was trying to bring about peace, and then another fella knew what had happened. Moses knew that had been seen, so he went out to the wilderness. He was tending sheep there. God came to him in the burning bush, said, you're going to be the one to go to Pharaoh to say, it's time to let my people go. We follow him all the way through that. We follow him through the Exodus. We follow him through that 40 years. And we also follow the fact that nobody except God knows where he's buried to this day. Moses did not get to enter the promised land. He got to see it, but he didn't get to go in. And only God knows where he is buried to this day. So one of these segments we find, you know, where God has already gone to Moses and God has said, you're going to go to Pharaoh. You're going to be the one to tell him to let my people go. Moses already not popular at all. He knows that if he goes back to Egypt, that there's going to be a bounty on his head for what he had done in the past. And yet God still chose him. God did not allow him to get off of the hook with his excuses. Now, that's another sermon for another day, but I want you to think about that. No matter what excuse you come up with, when it comes down to God having a plan for your life and he has put you in a place, no excuse is going to do. Remember what Moses said? He said, I just don't speak well. I'm not a good speaker. God said, okay, fine, then we'll use Aaron. I'll tell you, you tell Aaron, Aaron will tell the people, but the bottom line is you're not getting off the hook for what I have planned for you to do. So he begins, yeah, he goes, he approaches Pharaoh, he says, let my people go. And we know what started taking place. You know, the water in chapter 7 of Exodus, Egypt's water turns to blood. You know, you get on over into chapter 8 and frogs begin to appear everywhere simply because Pharaoh was not heeding the word that God was sending to him. Now, that frog passage is one that always really still amazes me. I mean, you know, some people, how many people get freaked out by frogs? I mean, you're not like scared of them or anything, but you look at those things, you're like, man, nobody in here. All y'all love frogs. Okay. You know, a lot of people are like, ugh. Okay, how would you like to have a billion of them in your house? Don't think so? I mean, literally, you have to think about that. Everywhere, inside and outside, that those in Egypt stepped, they were squishing a frog. That sounds pretty gross, doesn't it? Now, you also know what the aftermath of that is. Dead frog out in the sun. Give it a few days. Yeah, you get a little aromatic. I mean, just think about that for just a moment. So, I mean, that was one of the plagues. You know, the magicians, you know, think about the lice that came about as one of the plagues. God getting the attention of Pharaoh, God getting the attention of Egypt and saying, it's time for you to let my people go. This is a repeated situation in the book of Exodus. Moses goes to Pharaoh, says, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no, I'm not going to do it. God brings a plague of some sort on them, some of the ones that we just mentioned. Still, Pharaoh's heart gets hardened. And another message for another day, but it says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God had a plan throughout this whole thing. But that's not what I want us to look at today. What I want us to look at today is a tactic of the enemy. One of the tactics of the enemy, and it was used four different times by Pharaoh in these passages in Exodus chapter 8 as well as in Exodus chapter 10. And we're going to hop around a little bit today, but we're going to get into those. And here is what the big, big issue is that comes in your life, it comes in my life, whether it's in the past, whether it's in the present. But I promise you, if it's not one of those two, it will be in the future. And one of the tools that the devil uses in your life and in my life is compromise. Compromise. Now, remember when I started off, I said, how many of us like to deal? How many of us like to negotiate? Well, when you negotiate, it's because you haven't really come to an agreement yet on, in a lot of cases, something, maybe it's price. And you go and you say, well, here's what I'm willing to pay. And this person says, well, here's what I'm charging. And then there's a negotiation that goes on. And somewhere along the way, what both or either party is looking for is a compromise. The seller might say, I'm not going to get what I'm asking for this, but I'm willing to take a little bit less. Now, the buyer is there saying, you know what, I'm not willing to pay what you're wanting to charge, but I am willing to go a little bit less. So the art of negotiation is about trying to find where that happy medium is. You know what I'm saying? You understand that? Well, Satan loves to try to get you and I to compromise with the orders God's given us, with the commands God's given us, with the marching orders that God has given us. And I'm going to point that out four different times in these particular passages that Pharaoh wanted the God's people, Moses and Israel, to compromise what God had specifically told them. Remember the marching orders for Moses. You go tell Pharaoh he is going to let my people go. Remember the promise God said. There is a promise of a land that flows with milk and honey. It is the promised land. It is where where my people Israel will have an opportunity to function. It is where my people Israel will have an opportunity to worship. It is where they will have freedom. It is where they will not be slaves. Egypt had gotten really bad as far as being the taskmasters of Israel. They were brickmakers. God said, I don't want my people being slaves. I have a place for them. I have a journey for them to make. I'm going to pull them out of this oppression and put them into the promised land. Now, let me stop right here for just a moment and tell you that no matter where you are, God has a promised land in your life, and that's where he wants you to be. That doesn't mean that it's going to be without a journey. It doesn't mean that it's going to be without a stand, but most of us know the promised land God has in store for us in the same manner that Israel knew God had a promised land for them. There was a problem, though. Pharaoh was in the way. They were afraid of many of the things that were taking place. Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he said, God said, let my people go. And after a whole bunch of things like the water turning to blood, the frogs, the lice, all these things, Pharaoh would say, okay, I get it. I want to let you go, but I want you to look with me over there at chapter 8, verse 25. Chapter 8, verse 25 of Exodus says this. It says, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. Now, superficially, you look at that and say, oh, that's cool. What's happened is Pharaoh has told them that it's all right for them to go worship God. Now, remember what we said that the marching orders were that God had given Moses for his children Israel. It wasn't for them to stay in the land. It wasn't for them to worship there. It was to go to the place that I have prepared for you that's even better than where you are. And here was compromise number one that Pharaoh offered to Moses and to Israel. Verse 25, it says this. Let me read this in the ESV. It says, then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your gods within the land. He's saying, okay, I'll let you worship, but just do it right here. You don't need to leave. We'll let you serve right here. You can go out and you can do your thing with God. Remember we talked about with compromise? Is that what God told Moses that he was supposed to lead Israel to? Uh-uh. Remember, he was supposed to lead them to the land he had planned for them, and it wasn't Egypt. And yet what's happening is Pharaoh is offering a compromise. Now, I want you to put yourself in the position of Moses for just a moment, because remember, they hadn't had the freedom to be able to worship Yahweh God at that particular point. And here's what happens so very often. Now think about it. In your life, in my life, we have become accustomed to the compromise. You see, if Moses would have gone back and said, well, here's what Pharaoh said. Pharaoh said, we can worship, but he doesn't want us to leave. He wants us to stay right here. Do you know what most people would probably do in this day and age? Here's what they would say. They would say, hey, let's grab it. Let's grab the deal. Because now at least we'll get to worship. Now, see, listen, we'll start off, and you've probably heard this before, one step at a time. At least that's something we didn't have before. But let me go back and ask you, is that what God told Moses to tell the people? No, it was not. To have done that would have been an extreme compromise. You see, what would happen is the same thing would have happened to them that happens with us. When the compromise happens, we tend to get happy. We walk away feeling like we have won something. Yay, hey, look, we get to worship now. We're going to go right over here and we're going to build a church and we're going to worship together. The problem with that is that's not what God said do. God didn't say, stay in the land of the pagans. He said, I have a land for you. And folks, why is it that we're going to settle for something other than God's very, very best? And along the way, here was the great part. The great part was Moses was not fooled by this. Pharaoh said, I tell you what, if you want to just go over there, stay in the confines of Egypt, but you can worship over there. You just don't have to leave. You know, Moses said, not going to happen. Sorry, I am not dealing with you. You know, some of us have bought some things either online or somebody has seen something. They've listed something. And one of the things that they say in their listing, they'll say, here's the price and it's non-negotiable, or we just narrow it down to one little word. I'm asking $1,000 firm. That's telling you up front, I'm not negotiating. I'm not going below this price. Don't even think about it. Don't even try to haggle with me. So essentially what happened was Moses told Pharaoh, he said, that's a pretty nice little offer, but no, that's not what God said. I'm firm. That is not part of the plan. I will not compromise with you. Folks, let me ask you, are we compromising today? Are we falling into Satan's trap? Are we compromising our walk? Are we compromising our testimony? Are we compromising the things that we do in our life that God tells us that we should not do? Are we playing Let's Make a Deal? Y'all remember old Monty Hall and Let's Make a Deal? That's Satan, man. That's Satan in your life. Let's make a deal. God has already told you. He's given us the marching orders right here. He said, here's what you will do, and it is not negotiable. And Satan goes, oh, there's room. There's fluff. There's room. There's room. Yeah, you can go worship. Just stay here. That was compromise number one. He said, don't go. Yeah, I'll allow you to go worship, but you just have to stay here. You see, he didn't want to lose them. He didn't want to lose Israel as slaves. He didn't want to lose them as brick makers. But he thought if he tossed them that little bone, everything would be fine, and that they would walk away going, yay, we beat Pharaoh. And how many times in our lives do we compromise and we go away thinking that we've won, all the while Satan's over there laughing. He says, I still got you. You're still in the borders. You're still not where God wants you to be. And he goes, yeah, I got you. And better yet, you think you won. You think you've won some sort of victory when you compromised what God had for you. Satan offers the same compromise today. But yet believers, you and I are called to be different. We're called to live a different light. Jesus was not of this world, and he told us that we are to live in this world, but not of this world. But yet he wanted to deliver us from this world. So Moses in verse 27 rejects the compromise. Look with me at verse 27. He says, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and he will command us. He said, I'm not playing your game. I'm not going to negotiate this with you. I understand what it is that God wants. That was compromise number one that had been offered to Israel. So what was compromise number two? Now, this is pretty much in the same conversation. Drop down to verse 28. Notice what verse 28 says. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go. Isn't that great? Isn't that the way it always starts? I'll let you go. That's what you came asking. That's what I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. Do you see what he's trying to do there? Man, I'll tell you, he was shrewd businessman. Let me read that in the English Standard Version. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go to sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you must not go very far away. Plead for me. In other words, I'll let you go. Don't go far, and I want you to pray for me while you're there. I want to be a part of it. Just don't go very far. Now, again, people would sit back and go, that would be watching from the gallery, would be sitting there going, take the deal, Moses, take the deal. It's better than nothing. Take the deal. And God says, mm-mm, That's not what I have planned for you. Now, folks, here's the part right now that I trust and pray that the Holy Spirit has wrapped around your heart and said to you, how many times have you taken the deal and settled for something other than God's very, very best in your life? God is looking for some holdouts. God is looking for some standouts. God is looking for those who sit back and say, nope, this is the deal God said that we're going to get, and if we don't get that deal, we're not getting anything at all. Isn't it easy to sit back and say, well, let's take it because it's going to be better than where we are right now? And we think of it in terms of a journey. Well, if I get here, then maybe I'll get here later on. Folks, that's how America is eroding right now. Systematically, one step at a time. One step at a time. Well, see, if we can just push them off into this corner, folks, listen, my Bible tells me this, that we don't have anything to worry about. We don't have anything to be ashamed of. And last time I checked, and if you haven't done this, I want to encourage you, go read the last chapter, because we win. We win. I'm already playing on a winning team. I've already got the championship ring. I've already got the trophy. And in the end, we win. Let us not compromise with Satan what God has already given us victory in. And he's already given us a plan. Do not compromise. Pharaoh offered him compromise number two because he was realizing Moses wasn't dealing like he wanted him to. So he had to sweeten the pot. So he counteroffers and he says, go, but don't go far. Listen, I want you all to be around because look, I need you praying for me. I need you to pray, to be prayer warriors. I don't want you to go too far. That's not the reason why. He didn't want them to go far because he still wanted to have a leash on them. Remember, it's almost like they had a leash, but this compromise would have been just to give them a little bit more. You know what the problem was? Regardless of how long the lead was, they were still on a leash, weren't they? And God never intended them to be in that sort of bondage. That was compromise number two that Pharaoh offered. You can go, just don't go very far. Yeah, listen, you can be a Christian, just don't go off the deep end. You know what he's asking, he's telling you today? Look, you've already given your heart to Jesus. Satan can't get you. But here's what he says. Look, don't you be one of them religious fanatics. Because people are going to laugh at you. People are going to stare at you. Come on now. Listen, don't you be one of them people that gets out there and people know you're a Christian. Lord have mercy, you're going to mess up your image. Don't you be one of them people that's involved in a small group Bible study. Come on. That's for those who are weak and you're strong. Isn't that what Satan's told you? Don't you be involved in them things at church. Listen, there are more important things than you being with God's people. There are more important things than you being there. Listen, Sunday, you only get 2 days a week off, and Sunday's one of them. You deserve the break. You deserve the rest. Why do you want to go down there and listen to that Roy run his mouth? Why do you want to, look, man, I'm going to tell you one thing. It's a gorgeous day outside. I guarantee you there was tea time somewhere. I guarantee you, yeah, there's some lake time out there, some fish being caught. Is there anything wrong with playing golf or fishing? No. There becomes something wrong with it when it takes the place of your walk with the Lord and what God has called you to do. That's when it becomes a problem. Plain and simple. What are we compromising? Folks, I can tell you that right now, through the midst of this pandemic, Satan wants us to compromise things, doesn't he? Satan says, well, you guys can meet, but just don't meet this way. Just don't meet in this regard. Well, you can do these things, just don't do it that way. Last time I checked, we take orders from God and God alone. And this is going to be real grown up. But we need to look at Satan and go, uh-uh. not listening to you, not accepting your compromise. Going to follow what the Lord says. That was compromise number two that was offered to Moses. What about compromise number three? Remember I said there were four compromises there. What about compromise number four? Compromise number four comes over in chapter 10. Go ahead and turn over to chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 8 through 10. And here was the compromise that he made. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you up front. He said this. He said, go, but leave your families here. Look at chapter 10, verse 8. Verses 8 through 10. It says, so Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God, who are the ones that are going? That's a question mark. Okay, you go serve the Lord, but who's going? Who all's going with you? Verse 9, and Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons, our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. Now, let me translate that for you in case you missed it. He said, here's how he answered that. He said, who all's going? Everybody. We backing the U-Haul up. We're loading it up. Taking the wife, taking the kids, taking the dog, taking the cattle, taking the furniture. We're taking everything when we go. That's who's going, Pharaoh. Verse 10. Then he said to them, the Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead. Now, again, let me give that to you in another translation. But he said to them, the Lord be with you if ever I let you and your little ones go. Look, you have some evil purpose in mind. Know what he said? In short, I ain't letting that happen. It's not going to happen. I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you take your children. It's so ironic that I think about Pastor Julio who is coming here. You realize, you know what? He could come. He could come and do some business over here with us and with the seminary and the things that he needs to do. But guess what? He couldn't bring his family with him. You know why? You know why they don't let him do that? Because if they bring their family with them, there's a really good chance they ain't going home. So you know what? That's what happened. The government over there says, I'll tell you what, you can go, but they're going to stay right here. It's almost like holding them hostage. Because this man's not going to leave his family. And by the way, I don't think this man would leave the place God's called him. God's put him right there. And he knows what he's called him to do. But his family is going to be back home. He says, I'm not letting your families go. I'm not going to let you do that. So yet more plagues had to happen to get Pharaoh's attention. There was problems with the cattle. There were boils on the Egyptians in chapter 9. There was hail, except for in Goshen. Yeah, the threat of the plagues of the locust there in chapter 10. All kinds of things. Yeah, attention getters. God was giving these attention getters to Pharaoh saying, you got to understand something. Now, wouldn't it have been so much easier had Pharaoh said, okay, fine, I'll let the people go. There's a term I grew up with. And when you think about Pharaoh, here was the term. He was bullheaded and stubborn. And some of us are that same way. Listen, the things you are coming up against that Satan is wanting you to compromise in, God is not wanting you to waver. He is not wanting you to accept the deal. He is not wanting you to accept anything less than his very best plan that he has for you. This compromise is unacceptable. And that is essentially what Moses told Pharaoh at that point. Three different times. He's negotiating. Folks, Satan is a master negotiator. How many of you can say, I know what you're talking about? He has negotiated me down on some things that when I look back on, I never should have compromised on. I never should have done it because I knew then and I know that now that that was not God's perfect plan for me and I compromised. Ugh. So listen, we didn't do it just once. We do it over and over and over again. And Satan walks away going, you know what? Maybe you gave your life to Jesus and maybe you belong to him, but as far as you serving him, I have made him look like a fool in the eyes of other people. And as for you, you're a marionette. You're a puppet on a string because all I got to do is throw you a little compromise and you'll hit that bait every time. Listen, is that you this morning? Is that your life? Or are you like Moses in this case? Nope. Deal is unnegotiable. And I know you're Pharaoh, but let me tell you who I am a representative of. I am the representative of the Most High God. My orders are very clear, and my orders are very specific, and I will not compromise with you, evil. This compromise that was thrown toward Moses was unacceptable. And folks, let me tell you something right now. Remember what he said? Y'all go. Just don't take your families with you. Satan wants your family. Are you hearing me? He wants your children. He wants your grandchildren. He wants those little ones right there. He wants them. Is it important for you and I? Listen to you, it's important for us, you know. That's the reason why this evening there will be people who will gather here to disciple your children with Awana. That's what it's about. It's not that we don't have other things to do. It's because we love your kids and we care for them. And we want them to grow in the grace of God. We want them to hear the word of God. We want them to have the opportunity. And guess what else we want to do? We want to be the ones to be able to stand up and be their spiritual protectors along the way. To walk the journey with them and to say, don't do it. Listen, don't take the compromise. Don't take it. God's got something better. He wants your families. Our families ought to serve God with us. I've said this 1,000 times. Parents, don't be sending your kids to church. Take them. Lead them by example. Show them the way. Don't drop them off at the door and go away. Now, I've done made some people mad. I promise you. Some people are going, well, I'm getting off this feed now. Some people are saying, I'm gone. I've cut you off. What is more important? You are modeling for your children what is important. And are you following the Lord? Are they seeing you accepting compromise after compromise after compromise under the auspice of, well, at least they come once a month. At least they're there once a month. At least they're involved in that. Folks, let me tell you something. You better start getting with it. Mom and Dad, you better start getting with it because someday you will stand in the face of God and you will answer for how you raised your children. That ought to be scary. You will answer for how you brought them along in the spiritual light. Listen, they're going to answer for what they did with it, but you will answer for the opportunities. You will answer for the shortcomings, and you will answer for where you failed to heed God's word. I don't want to see our children in the hands of Satan. I don't want to see our young people walk that road. I don't want to see them get to the point where their attitude is, well, I'm here at church today, but I'm here because mom and dad made me, and here's the thing about it. Now, I don't want to have anything to do with it. When I get done, when I walk away from here, when I go to college, I ain't never setting foot in a church again. And you know what? That's a real high percentage of our young people today. You know why? Because what happened was church was something they did, not something they experienced. That's not what the Lord wants from us. The Lord wants us to experience him, to know him, to fall in love with him to the point where we look forward to having opportunities to gather around him. See, we've all walked that trail, hadn't we? Now, that's not to say that there are not days when people go, oh, man, I'm tired. Listen, how many of y'all, that bed felt better this morning than it did all week? Come on. You were more comfortable today. It was warmer today. Yeah, you're sitting back and thinking, oh, mercy, that, you know, there was more issues to get you going today because Satan was offering you a compromise. And for some of you, even watching today, he offered you a compromise and you took it. Well, I could go and be a part of the family of God, but I'm just going to stay here with my coffee and my PJs in a recliner. We're glad you're here in that regard, but hey, we'd like for you to be here. People go, well, we're not doing anything. Listen, I understand coronavirus is still real, and I understand what it does, and I understand that there are still health concerns that people have, but I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people who get out and do everything else that they want to do and then sit back and go, well, you know what? Church is just a place where I could get coronavirus. Listen, if you're going to go to Walmart and not church, you got your priorities flipped around. If you're going to go to sit in a restaurant, you got your priorities flipped around. Look, we got enough space. We can spread you out here. You don't even have to be anywhere near anybody. You can sit out in the grass. You can sit in your own car. Don't let Satan give you a compromise that you snap up and say, oh, well, this is better than nothing. Don't do it. That was compromise number three. You can go, but leave your families here. Why was he wanting to do that? Because he knew that if their families were there, they would come back. He still had control. He still had them on a leash. The one that God was sitting there trying to cut off of them, they were still going to be in bondage to Egypt, to the Egyptians, to slavery. Moses said, nope, not going to happen. We're going, we're taking everything, we're taking everybody with us. I am not bending to that. So that was compromise number three that was offered. And I'm sure that there were still people back there going, come on, man, look, you've done well, but your luck's getting ready to run out. Stop. Let's just take it. Take the deal. At least we can go. At least we can worship. It's more than what we had before. But yet Moses said it, but it's not what God wanted for us. This is not, yet to go out there and have to come back is not the land that flows with milk and honey. To go out there and come back means that we're still going to be slaves. And that is not what God told me to tell him. So the bottom line is, no deal, Pharaoh, no deal. Y'all say this with me, no deal. Louder, no deal. One more time, no deal. Listen, folks, when you come after my kids, Satan, when you try to get me to do things that are contrary to God's word and I see it, no deal. When you try to get me to a place where it's not what God wants for me in my life, yeah, I'm heading to the promised land and you're offering me something different. It might seem like it's a little better, but the bottom line is I know what God wants me to do. So here, Satan, no deal. Don't compromise. Don't do it. That was three times. And you know what most people would say in our modern day and age? Three strikes and you're out. Some of them were probably sitting back there going, take the deal. Ooh, pick number three. That's the best one. Pick number three, Moses. Come on, you can do it. Moses goes, nope, I'm going for the whole thing. And some of them are going, oh. You're probably not going to get a better deal than you were just offered. Moses goes, well, you know what? That's not my problem. My issue is this. I know my orders. I know what I'm supposed to. Hey, here's the thing. So do you, don't you? You know what God has in store for you. You know when the compromise comes. The Holy Spirit is sitting there saying, look, man, no deal. No deal. Don't take the deal. There's something better. I promise. No deal. Stick with what you got. That was compromise number three that was offered to Israel. And what was number four? Number four is also in chapter 10, but down in verses 24 through 27, we read this. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24 said, then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Well, that sounds great, don't it? First part, go serve the Lord. That's what they wanted. Go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. Oh, okay. So now you're sitting there saying, I can take the wife and the kids, but you want me to leave my livestock back here. You don't want me to take the cows and the goats and all that. And by the way, folks, that was wealth. You realize that if people had livestock, they were wealthy. That was part of their wealth. He said, now I want you to, you guys can go, but leave all your stuff right here. Leave your material possessions. Leave your livestock here. Here's the reason why. Because most people wouldn't go away and leave that permanently. You know why? Because we love this, don't we? I mean, just picture it like this. He said, all right, I tell you what, you leave me your bank book that's got that $100,000 in it, and you go out there and worship. You gonna hand him your bank book and walk away forever? See, most people would be going, Oh, remember what the Lord said? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I've said this a bunch of times. Remember what follows what? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. The heart follows the treasure, not the other way around. Boy, I could preach that one, couldn't I? Where's your treasure? Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. I can find it. You mean to find your heart? Show me your treasure. Show me what you invest in. Show me what's important to you, and I'll show you where your heart is. Why? Because that's what the Bible said. And you know what? Pharaoh knew that as well. Leave your stuff. Leave your riches. Leave your wealth here. Because if I can get you to keep your wealth here, that's where your heart will be as well. That's what he said in verse 24. But verse 25, Moses said, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. You know what he said? He said, we can't leave our livestock here because that's where our sacrifices are. It all belongs to God. We've got to take that with us because if we're going to go out and offer burnt sacrifices, we have to have the animals to sacrifice him. Don't tell me to leave behind the sacrifice to the Lord. Based on what we know and worship and how we're supposed to do it. No, I am not leaving the livestock back here. Once again, what he said to Pharaoh was this. No deal. No deal. Verse 26, our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. I like how he got bold right there. We're taking the livestock with us, and not one single hoof is going to be left back here in Egypt. You picking up what I'm saying, Pharaoh? No, not going to happen. For we, middle of verse 26, for we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. You know what I love about this particular passage? He says, we have to take it all. We just can't take a few of them because we won't know what the Lord wants us to sacrifice until we're there. Folks, you know what that means? That means every bit of your wealth and every bit of what you are belongs to God, and he may ask you for it, and you don't ever know what he may ask for. He might ask for you to use your home for something. He might ask for some money out of your bank account to be used for a ministry. He may ask you to go that extra mile. He may ask for your automobile. All these things belong to him. And I love what Moses said there. He said, you know what? He said, we've got to take it all with us because as sure as we get out there and as sure as we leave all the cattle back there, guess what God's going to ask us for? A sacrifice of cattle. You know why? Because we messed up and compromised and left something back in Egypt. And I can make you almost a promise. I can almost make this promise that whatever you leave behind to hold on to is exactly what God will ask you for. And all God's people that have experienced that before said, amen. Nope, we don't know what he's going to ask of us until we get there. Verse 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. He is beating his head against this wall. More plagues, come to move Pharaoh's heart, the locust, the darkness, except for in Goshen. Finally, he says, go ye and serve the Lord. He says, don't take your flocks with you. Let your little ones go with you, but leave the animals here. We've all been offered compromises in our lives like this, and Satan does not want God to have our possessions. And last time I checked, everything I think I have belongs to God. Everything. God's house, God's car, God's bank account, God's food in the pantry. And at any moment, he can say, I want you to take some of what's mine and use it for this. And what do we do? Do we go, I don't know about that. That's a lot. The Lord says, I want you to go. Listen, just like I want to tell you, I appreciate what you have done as a church in Cuba. Those that have never gone will never understand that impact on this side of glory. But let me tell you something. God has used you because you've been faithful. There are ministries that are going on right now as we speak because of what you've done, because of your obedience. There are little kids hearing the gospel message in three different places right now, probably out in a field somewhere playing games and listening about Jesus because of you. Because God said, Pastor Julio, I got some people in Oak Ridge, North Carolina that are going to meet the need that you've been praying for. I've tapped them out. You know, we've sat there and thought, hey, what's going to happen, Lord? We don't know what's going to happen. We don't get to go in March this year. How are we going to support that ministry? And God said, well, since I'm not taking you to Pastor Julio, I'm bringing Pastor Julio to you. You know why? Because we're going to send him back with his Awana money for the year. We're going to send him back with that music ministry finances to be able to take care of the teachers and the needs of what they have. God is good, and all the time, and he's got a plan. Let's not compromise God's plan, okay? Let's not settle for something besides that, because compromise will keep us in bondage. Consecration towards the Lord allows for no compromise in our walk with him, and we need to allow Christ to be Lord of all of our life. Not some of it, all of it. And you've heard me say this many times before. All means all, and that's all that all means. Are you compromising today? I'm going to ask Lynn if she'd come on up for our time of commitment as we wind the service down today. And folks, I'm going to tell you, I've had to preach hard today. A lot of us have compromised what we know to be true in regard to salvation. I have a feeling that there's people who are watching that have said, you know, I'll go to church and I'll go with my wife or I'll go with my kids just because they want me to be there and I want to support them, but I don't have nothing to do with that Jesus thing. And let me tell you, Jesus passed through your heart today and he's knocking upon your heart's door. He wants a relationship with you. None of it's by accident. Have you surrendered your life to him? Has there been that time when you have confessed, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior? Or are you going to compromise with Satan and stay just close enough to salvation, but not have it, but just close enough to where people think you are? Or will today be the day when you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save my soul. Forgive my sin. And listen, I promise you that if you did that sincerely with your heart, that all the angels in heaven are having a party right now. All the angels in heaven are looking at Satan going, you lost. Hallelujah, John, Bob, Bill, Mary, Lucy, Teresa, Freddie, they're all cheering you going, yes, the kingdom's enlarged. And some people are sitting back going, it just can't be that easy. Yeah, it is. Trusting him's the easy part. Following him's the hard part. Oh, which brings me to my other thought. Maybe you're here today and you have been following from afar. You have been compromising. And listen, folks, you can be on multiple ends of that spectrum. You could be that person that has willfully compromised and you know it and the Lord's convicted your heart. Now, you could be that person that Satan has been so sneaky that you have already compromised before you've realized it. Listen, don't be hard on yourself. Ask God's forgiveness. Ask repentance. He'll forgive you and he will restore you. That's what he'll do. He will bring you back into fellowship with him. Folks, it's time for us to stop compromise. It's time for us to stop calling sin by some flowery name. You notice that's what we've done in society? We just changed the name of it so it doesn't have this bad connotation. We call homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. Let me tell you what it is. It's sin. And the word says that. Oh, preacher, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You know what? I don't care. If I'm going to get in trouble for calling sin that God calls sin, sin, I'm on the right side. I think if the Lord walked in here today, listen, we've been studying on Wednesday evenings the letters to the seven churches. Wow. If God walked in here today, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest, and he wants individual time with each of you. He's got a message. Would you be worried? When he looks and he says, hey, Jimmy, come here. I need to see you. Tony, come here. Scott, Kirk, come on in and close the door. You can make it right today. The question is, will you? Or will you once again compromise and take the easy way out? Listen, if that's you today and you want to return to the Lord, return that fellowship, just simply say, Lord Jesus, I realize where I've sinned. I'm confessing that to you right now by name. Father, forgive me. Help me. Lord, this is so tough. Help me to follow you with no compromise. In Jesus' name. Listen, if you did that, I can promise you that he has taken the sin, thrown it as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. But go and sin no more. Work on making it right with him. What do you need to confess with him today? Listen, if there's something you need to do, do it right now. In just a moment, Lynn's going to play. I'm just asking you that you deal with God right where you are. Listen, if you need us, we're here. If you're on our online community, let us know. Contact us. If you trusted Jesus, we want to help you start that walk that you might grow in grace and faith with him. Let us know. We want to celebrate with you. That's what it's all about. What has God said to you today? Listen, if you said, well, he hadn't said nothing to me, then you came in and you were so distracted you missed what he had to say because his word doesn't return void. What does he want you to do? As your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, you do that business with God right now.
You can move in the unseen. You set the captives free. As I stand and sing, You're breaking the chains off me. Oh, oh Jesus. Oh, oh Jesus.
Amen. God is good. And all the time. He really, really is good. Folks, you know what? Sometimes it's hard to stand and preach in that way. I still remember when I was growing up, we would do dramas when I was, back in youth group. And I loved life wherever I was. And I made sure everybody around me loved life wherever I was, too. That doesn't always fare well with the director when you're doing a drama, does it? Yeah. And I still remember I would get those looks from Betty Jo and Sylvia when I'd be over there being disruptive or something, and I would just get the look. You know, some of you just got the look from God today. He went, come on. Folks, it's not because we don't love you. We preach hard because we do love you. It's not targeted towards any one person because only the Holy Spirit knows what's in your heart. But I will say this, if he targeted your toes today, make sure you deal with those circumstances before our Father, that you might stand in his presence and say, Lord, I didn't compromise. I went through living hell on earth, but I didn't compromise because I knew you had something better planned. And just like Israel, someday you're going to walk into the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey, and it will all be worth it. Before I close in prayer, again, I just want to thank you. Don't forget, 2020 statements of giving are in the Lottie Moon post office back there. The Christmas cards that were remaining are on the bottom of that post office. Please pick all of the above up. Statements of giving will be mailed if you do not pick them up. We have to do that by law. The Christmas cards, we don't have the resources to be able to mail all those back out to you, so we'll be discarding them probably by the end of this month if you don't pick them up. So I want to encourage you to do that or call the office and make some arrangements. We'll be happy to help out any way that we possibly can. Don't forget, Pastor Julio Machado will be with us next Sunday. I want to tell you right now that never has there been a man of greater faith than I have experienced in my life than this man. I could tell you stories of how they pray for God to do incredible things. And you'd sit back, you and I would sit back and go, there's no way that's going to happen. And God makes a way right in his time. I got stuff sitting on my desk that we bought a thing that she made to sell, and she had one day. This is Pastor Julio's wife, had one day because she needed the book. She told God, I need these books. It's not a want, it's a need. And I know you're going to supply. And she made these little wooden baskets with these flowers in them. And she had a guy out there selling them on the street. And at that particular time, they needed what would be 80 CUCs. That's like 8 months worth of a person's salary back then. And she sent that guy downtown to sell those on the street with full faith that God was going to provide. You know what was so funny about that? We showed up at the house that day. And Tony said, God wants us to help you with your WANA program. And here's what he put on our heart. And guess how much it was? No, it wasn't the 80. It was twice that. It was 160 CUCs. God honored her faith. You know what she did? She handed me that little basket of flowers. And she said, I don't want to offer to my God that which cost me nothing. Just like David.
And with tears in her eyes, she said, "To God be the glory." And you see, that wasn't me, and that wasn't him. That was you. It was you being the hands and the feet of God. That's the guy you get to hear next Sunday. Don't miss it. If you do, you're going to miss a tremendous blessing. Don't forget, as you're on your way out, our tithe box is back there on the table by the door. If you're in our sanctuary, it is over at the offering plates at the front of the sanctuary. If you're at home, you can go online, www.oakridgecbc.org. There's a giving tab. You can give that way. And we look so forward to serving as we go forward in this year. God is still moving. He's still doing incredible things, and it is still great to be a part of it. I love you. Don't forget, tonight Awana is picking back up for the, I guess we call this the spring semester. Youth at 5:30, all others at 6 o'clock. We're still in our COVID protocols as you come. So we look forward to seeing our kids tonight as well as our leaders. Let's dismiss in a word of prayer. God bless you. We love you. Father, you're good to us. We thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for people that you've put in our lives to help show us the way, to lead us to strengthen faith, to lead us places we've never been before. And oh God, help us as we walk with you not to compromise your very best for something less than what you're offering. Help us to stay in your word. Help us to stay true even through the midst of the darkness and even through the valley of the shadow of death. Help us truly to fear no evil because you are with us. Your rod and staff comforts us and leads us. Father, give us a great week. Use us in somebody else's life to be a blessing. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We trust and pray you'll have a great week.